Our text this evening is from our first lesson, the Epistle, Galatians chapter 4. You may like to turn to it. It's page 178 in the New Testament sections of the Bibles. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Galatians 4 verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. I wonder if you ever noticed how often we treat God in a way that we hate other people treating us. I don't know about you, but I hate people ignoring me. Maybe the feeling of walking into a room, maybe it's a party or some other gathering, many people there. You look around and you hardly recognize anyone. And then suddenly you see in the corner somebody that you do recognize, so you make your way towards them. They're engaged in conversation with somebody else, and you stand by them waiting for an opportunity to speak to them. And they completely ignore you. They carry on talking, they know you're there, but they just ignore you. You might just as well not be there at all. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? You feel like a complete outsider, as though you don't belong. And yet many people treat God a little bit like that. It's not that they don't believe in him, it's just that they simply ignore him. They know that he's there, but he might as well not be. And so they spend their whole life ignoring him. I don't like people ignoring me, but I don't like people using me either. I don't think any of us does. And again, we know the sort of situation. There are some people who ignore us for most of the time until they want something out of us. And then suddenly they come all friendly. Then when they've got what they wanted, whether it's money or advice or help, everything goes back to normal and they continue to ignore us again. And we realize that we've been used and we don't like it. We're often used, I suppose, but then again, we probably use other people as well. And many of us treat God like that. We use him. Most of the time we have no need of him. We get by quite happily without him. Then some crisis occurs, some difficulty, and we turn to him for his help, for his strength, for his guidance. When the situation, the difficulty is over, we forget about him. Everything is back to normal. In other words, we use him. But there's another way I hate being treated by people. I hate people lecturing me. People telling me how to do my job. I don't think any of us really like that, do we? The trouble is they're usually right. We're not very keen on it because we prefer to get by without their advice. And yet very often I think we behave towards God like that as well. We tell him that he's doing his job badly. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why is there war? Why are there disasters? Why are there famines? Why don't you do something? That's your job after all, isn't it? Why don't you act? Isn't that what we say to God quite often? And that's why the Christmas story is so immensely important. It's the most important event that's ever taken place in all history. Because it tells us that God has acted. That he has done something. And what he's done is so extraordinary, so ridiculous, that none of us would ever have thought of it ourselves. See, God didn't come into his world with great legions of angels so that everybody would have to listen to him. Nor did he act by bringing the world to an end, though he perhaps would have been justified in doing so. God did something quite different. He sent his Son, born as a tiny little baby 2,000 years ago, with all the weakness of a newborn infant, born into a remote part of the Roman Empire. That was God's way. It's not a way we'd ever have thought of. We probably thought we could have done it better ourselves. But that was God's way and it was the right way. It may seem ridiculous or scandalous, but it's exactly what he did. And I just want to notice two things about it this evening. And the first I want us to notice God's plan. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son. There was nothing arbitrary or haphazard about the birth of Jesus Christ. It wasn't a sort of spur-of-the-moment decision. God had planned for the birth of his Son before the creation and the foundation of the world. And all the way through the history of the world, he had been preparing a people for it, awaiting the time. And now the time had fully come. And God was putting that plan into practice. Now we don't know exactly why he chose that time. Maybe it was because at that moment Rome had conquered most of the known world. There was relative peace. And the Roman roads meant ease of travel so the news could spread fast. Perhaps it was for that reason. Maybe it was because the Greek language and culture had given a cohesiveness to society it hadn't had before. Maybe there was a time when people were getting increasingly frustrated with the gods of Greece and Rome. We don't know why God chose the time. But we do know this. It was no accident. There was nothing arbitrary about it. It was all a part of God's plan. And it was a plan that he worked out in the birth of Jesus. It's a plan that he is still working out in his world. Because God hasn't left his world. One day he will return to bring all things together. And again we'll know that will be at just the right time too. Because God's plan and God's timing are always perfect. His plan, but then we see also his purpose. Why did God send his son? God sent his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. It is an important question to ask why Jesus came, isn't it? It's a question that perhaps many people never ask. At this time of the year, we often talk about peace. We say that Jesus came to bring peace, as indeed he did. But that's sometimes interpreted as meaning peace between nations, peace amongst people, political peace. And that's got a sadly ironic note to it today, hasn't it? Who knows what the next month or 2 months will hold. I was reading in the newspapers today a comment by the mayor of Bethlehem. It had a very ironic tinge to it. "We have one message in Bethlehem," he said, "which is eternal. When Jesus Christ was born, the angels were singing, 'Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards people.' Unfortunately, on the eve of Christmas, we're hearing the drums of war. We're not hearing anything to encourage us about peace, only threats." Whatever one makes of the situation in Israel and the Middle East at the moment, those remarks coming from the mayor of Bethlehem have a peculiar poignancy to them, don't they? And if we believe that Christ came to bring peace between nations, peace of that sort, we can only say that he's been a disastrous failure. We've not known peace in history. We don't know much peace at the moment. Our country, our world, seems on the brink of war. It's not that sort of peace, though, that Jesus came to bring. It's not that that Paul speaks of here, is it? Why did Christ come? He came to redeem us, those of us who are under the law. He came to buy us back. But what from? Well, if you'd read chapter 3 earlier, he came to buy us back from being prisoners to sin. Because however much we may hate evil regimes and evil empires, there's something that is more deadly even than that. And that is the sin that lurks in every one of our hearts. That lurks in the heart of every man, woman and child in our world. And it is from that that we need to be delivered more than anything else. From the lust, the jealousy, the envy, the bitterness that lurks in each one of us. I think it was P.T. Forsyth who once said, "The one problem of the world is its sin. Its one need to be forgiven." And when God sent his son, it was to deliver us from that sin and the consequences of it. When Christ came, he came to die. And he came to die so that we could be forgiven. That's why we'll never understand Christmas without Easter. We never understand the incarnation without the crucifixion. We will never understand Christ's birth without also understanding his death. Because the coming of Christ affects every one of us. It affects each person in the world. Because in Christ we're offered a new hope, a new chance. We're offered forgiveness, a clean slate, freedom from the guilt that so often weighs us down. It's probably true of many of us here that we are weighed down by guilt. Came across these very telling words recently, that we're like cars with headlights behind. Looking back, we see the people we have hurt and the wrong we have done. And we realize that if only we'd stopped to count the cost to our families, our friends, or simply our self-respect, we would not have acted as we did. Isn't that true for many of us as we look back maybe at the last year? That feeling of guilt very often? Well, it was to deliver us from that sort of guilt that Jesus Christ came. That was the sort of peace he came to bring. That we might be redeemed, bought back. That we might receive adoption as sons. That we might become the children of God. You see, on the one hand, the coming of Christ was no accident. It was all as a result of God's plan. Something he'd been planning before the foundation of the world. There's nothing arbitrary or haphazard about it. But equally, the coming of Christ had a purpose, and it was to redeem each one of us, that each one of us might know God's forgiveness. I wonder if you know it. I wonder if you've experienced it. Because in a few minutes, we're going to be sharing in the Holy Communion, sharing in bread and wine. And that is a visual reminder to us of the forgiveness that Christ came to bring us. So we share the bread, we remember his body broken. So we share the blood, the wine, we remember his blood shed. You see, when Christ came, it wasn't just for a pretty story with a happy ending. Christ came to die. And he came to die that we might live, that we might know forgiveness, that we might be redeemed, that we might become the children of God. So when we come to sharing the communion in a few minutes, let it not just be a dull ritual. Let it not be an action that we go through mechanically. In our hearts, let's give thanks. Remember why Christ came. And perhaps receive something of that ourselves. Because when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Each one of us can know that forgiveness. Each one of us can know what it is to be a child of God. And I hope and pray that for some of us this Christmas, for the first time, we understand just a little bit of what it meant that Christ came. As we're seated, shall we just have a word of prayer together? When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son. Our Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. Help us to respond to him, each one of us, in our hearts, that we might know, each one of us, what it is to be your children. And we ask it for his name's sake. Amen.